Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministry. We want to open up with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the Bible study on tonight. I thank you for your spirit leading and guiding me into the anointing, Father, Lord God, that you would pour out your spirit, God, upon this message, Lord God, that you would touch the hearts of your people, God, and that they would be blessed by this word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, saints. We're coming to you tonight speaking on the power of the manifested gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be talking about what is the gospel message. A lot of people want to know, what is the gospel message? And we're going to start talking. And first of all, the Bible says that it is God's power unto salvation. Now we're going to start. The first scripture we're going to read is Jude 1 and 23. The Bible says, and others save with fear. So that means some people you have to really scare the literal hell out of them by teaching on hell. The Bible says some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. Now the Bible also, and it also says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, which means spotless, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The garment that they're speaking of here is our body, our spiritual body, and that can be spotted by the flesh. Our sins are spots in the garments of our robes of righteousness, and we're going to talk about that tonight. When God sees us, he either sees us in our robe of righteousness or he sees us naked. In Matthew 22 and 1 through 14, the Bible says, Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king that made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. They would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them that are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. The Bible says, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and killed them or slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was very angry, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, letting you know it doesn't matter what you've been through in the past, God can call you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Bible says the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the garment that is spotted. Amen. The Bible says when he came in to see the guests, he saw there a man that had not on a wedding garment. That's why I said when he sees you, he either sees you naked or he sees you in your robe of righteousness. So there was a man there that did not have on a wedding garment. And look what the Lord said to him. He said to him, friend, he didn't hate on him. He didn't, you know, there was no hatred. He still loved him. He said, friend, how camest thou in here not having a wedding garment? How did you get in? Amen. The Bible says that the man was speechless. We don't want to stand before God and be speechless. Amen. We want to have on our robe of righteousness. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away. And look what they did, though. They bind him. He said, bind him hand and foot, take him away. Not only that, but he said, cast him into outer darkness, which we know is hell, for there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That only take place in hell. And look what the rest of the scripture says. For many are called, but few are chosen. Everyone in the church is called, because when you answered the call, the day that you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. But the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Now, just because you answered the call does not mean you will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us tonight. In fact, I want to tell you, it is Satan's job to keep you away from that celebration. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Ephesians 5 and 25 through 27, the Bible says, to husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, talking about the church, and cleanse it. Amen. God wants to cleanse us, the church, with the washing of the word. Now, over in Psalms 1 and 19, verse 9, it tells us how we are cleansed. The Bible says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer, he answers you in the next part of the verse. It says, by taking heed thereto according to your word. This, the word will cleanse you, the Bible says. Now, the word young man can also be translated apprentice, novice, or learner. I learned today at church that the word learner can also mean disciple. So that's why, you know, the message today was make disciples. Amen. So the way that we cleanse our soul before God is to take heed according to the word of God. Now, the church is cleansed by taking heed and obeying the word. That's what taking heed means, to obey the word of God. Nothing else can cleanse you spiritually but obedience to the word. David said in Psalms 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then on down in the same chapter, in verse 14, he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. When I read that, the Lord took me on a different direction. Amen. We want to talk about, amen, riches tonight, because that's where so many people miss the mark. David said in Psalms 119 and 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. We're going to dissect this verse tonight. What was meant by testimonies? Before we get to riches, we'll talk about the testimonies. What did he mean when he said testimonies? I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. In the Old Testament, the ark contained the testimony of the Lord. The ark and the testimony, the Bible says, were the same thing. When you talk about the ark, you can interchange that with the testimony. Amen. The testimony, the Bible says, is the revelation of God. The reason why they had the things in the ark is because those things that they were saving, the manna, the Aaron's rod that budded, all of those things that were in the ark were God's way of revealing himself to man. So when you say testimony, you can also say the revelation of God. In the Old Testament, God revealed himself to Israel. But in the New Testament, it was the revelation of Jesus Christ to the believer. That's why I always tell unbelievers to pray and ask God to reveal himself to them. Divine truth has got to be revealed in order for a person to become a believer. Now, let's talk about the testimonies again, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are called the testimony of God. David said, I rejoiced in thy testimonies. Amen. I rejoiced in the revelation of you to Israel. Ten Commandments are the revelation of who God is. David said, I rejoiced in the revelation of who you are as much as in riches. Amen. Now, in John, and over in the New Testament, to back this up, in John chapter 17, verse 3, the Bible says that Jesus said, this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is life eternal, to know God. So when God reveals himself to you, you obtain eternal life through the revelation of God to your spirit man. Praise God. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you rejoice in eternal life as much or more than you rejoice in riches? David said, I rejoiced in your testimonies as much as I do riches, because David had both. So what if David's prayer were true today for believers? What if we did rejoice as much over the testimonies of God's revelation of himself to us as we do over riches? God, Adam walked in the cool of the day in the garden, and he talked to God. There was a certain time he just talked to God. God revealed himself to Adam. Amen. Adam had eternal life before he sinned. He had an eternal life. Why do we not understand that we have to rejoice in the testimonies of God? We have to rejoice. We have to be just as excited as we are over our eternal life and God's revelation of himself to us as we do in riches. Now, what if David's prayer were true today to believers? What if we did rejoice as much over his revelation of himself as we do over riches? The devil would not be able to trip us up as God's people with the deceitfulness of riches. Remember, the Bible talks about the seed, the word falling on the ground that was thorns and all cast over with thorns. And that was, the Bible says, the deceitfulness of riches. I know I'm going to lose a lot of friends when I say this, but I want you to know God does not necessarily want all of us to be rich. Sometimes he just wants you to be comfortable and have enough to take care of your family, sow into the kingdom, and give when and how he tells you to give. Everyone is not meant to be rich, saints. And so that's why we can't preach this gospel about riches. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the false gospel of riches. Amen. Not everybody can handle being rich. For some, he just wants to see if you are willing. You may have money. Sometimes Jesus will do you like he did the rich young ruler, ask you to sell it all and give it up and follow him. Some people can't handle riches. Amen. The rich young ruler he walked away sad, the Bible says, because he had great riches. But most preachers don't want to preach on these scriptures. The Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. This is the first time I saw someone with great riches being sad about something. And it happened when it came to eternal life. Will you go away sad? That's what the Lord is asking you tonight. Will you go away sad if the Lord asks you to sell all that you have and follow him? I know a woman that sold everything that she had. She had a big, beautiful home, a $300,000 brick home out here in Covington. She had a house full of furniture. Amen. She sold everything. I used to work with her. She sold everything and went to work as a mission in another country. And I believe that the Lord, that she was so in love with Jesus. People would say, oh, I don't understand that. I would never do that. I don't understand people doing that. But the same thing he told the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler went away sad. This woman obeyed God. Now let's talk about what does the Bible say about riches. But I just brought that up to say there are some people that live that do love God enough to still obey God when it comes to their finances, amen, or their lack of finances. They don't get disturbed because they don't have. Okay, let's talk about this. In 1 Timothy 6 and 17 through 19, we're going to talk about riches tonight. The Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. That's money. But in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they may do good. That means that they be rich in good works, the Bible says, ready to distribute. That means if you have it, God may ask you to distribute, to do a work, a good work, amen, that you can lay up your foundation. The Bible says ready to distribute, willing to communicate, and laying up in store for yourselves a good foundation against the time to come. When you are ready to distribute and willing to communicate your riches to others, you are laying up in store for yourself a good foundation against the time to come that you can lay hold on eternal life. Now, over in Matthew 6 and 19, the Bible says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust corrupts, and where thieves break through and steal. So Jesus himself told us not to worry so much or lay up for ourselves or preach as part of the gospel treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupts and where thieves break through and steal. People will always preach on tithing, which is nothing wrong with tithing, if that's your relationship with God. But the Bible says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. We need to preach this as well as we preach tithing. Does it sound like God wants you to be concerned with valuables and things you attain in this life? No, Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. He said, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupts, and where thieves do not break through and steal. This is Jesus talking. You have to decide, do you want the true riches in heaven, or do you want to get it all here and receive no treasure in heaven or barely make it in? Some of our mansions, God told me, are going to look like huts, while others will be beautiful, large, spacious, and glorious. It all depends on what you do now. Satan knows this as well. That's why he's filling the mainstream American churches, pulpits, with everything but the Word of God. Messages like, you can learn how to be successful in this life, or be a millionaire, you can learn how to be a better person, or anything you want in this life, we can show you how to achieve it. These things are not to be taught from the sacred pulpits, because although they are good, they are not the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Over in Ephesians 5 and 27, Paul told the church at Ephesus that he might present it, talking about the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, because it has been washed with the word, that it, the church, should be holy and without blemish. And that's why I'm preaching you the truth tonight, because I want you to be holy. I want God to be able to come back and present himself a glorious church. You know, the Bible says Jesus is not going to come back until this message, this gospel, is preached over all the world. Well, I don't believe that that's going to be anytime soon, because the message that's being preached over all the world is not the message of Jesus Christ. It's not being preached all over the pulpits in every church. And that's why I said God is getting ready to do a new thing with this next generation. I really believe that they are going to be the ones to take this gospel all over the world, because we had an opportunity and we did not do it. Now, he said that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I see what the devil is doing, and I just want to say, woe is me, or it would be remiss of me not to preach on the strategies of the enemy, because the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. The way to spot a church that Satan has infiltrated or entered into is to watch what they preach. There is only one gospel, and that is why Paul said, I am determined to preach only the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went even further as to say in Galatians 1 and 6 through 12, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, this was the church at Galatia that he was talking to. We already saw what he told the church at Ephesus. Now we're seeing what he told the church at Galatia. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed. So we see this thing going, it went through all the churches in the early church, and it's going through all the churches again. But that's why the word of God. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel that is not another gospel. He said, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, now look what Paul told the Galatians, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Hallelujah. He said, if you are preaching anything other than the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which tells you how to be saved, repentance from sin, and how to be saved through Jesus Christ, from that pulpit, the sacred pulpit of Jesus Christ in the church of God, he said, let you be accursed. Now, Paul, this was very important, because Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You wonder why things are not going right for you sometimes as preachers or as leaders in the church. Watch what you're preaching. Are you preaching the truth to the people, or have you been led astray? The Bible says in verse 9 of this same chapter, Galatians 6, as we said before, so say I now again. So Paul felt that this was so important that he had to say it twice. He said, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, enough to get you saved, remember, let him be accursed. The reason why we can be deceived into preaching another gospel is because we are trying to please man. Paul went on to say, for do I now persuade men, or do I persuade God? Hallelujah. He said, do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And that is how the devil can get a foothold into the body of Christ, because we start trying to please men instead of seeking to please God and trusting God to meet the need. Paul said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel that was preached of me is not after man. And that's the way it should be. He said it would be, no, this is, okay, so he said the gospel that I preach is not after man. And I want to say it would be easier for me to preach something else That will make me more popular. That will make me have more friends. I probably could be in a church building somewhere. People would come out in droves to support me if I was telling them, using this word to tell them how to be successful in life. I could take classes and study on how to be successful. I'm a fairly educated woman. I could teach classes on how to be successful and achieve fame and fortune. But you know what? That's not the gospel. I could teach you how to live the good life from the pulpit. But it's because of scriptures like this that I choose not to. Let's continue reading in Matthew 25 and 23. This is another scripture I want to read because I want to hear the Lord say, well done, well done. In Matthew 25 and 23, the Bible says, well done, thou good and faithful. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now I will make you ruler over much. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I don't want to hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now I will make you ruler over much. Galatians 1 and 12, Paul said, for I neither received it, talking about the gospel. I did not receive the gospel from man. He said, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you are preaching how to be successful in life, you had to learn that from a man. You were taught that by a man. Paul said, I did not receive the gospel from man, but I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel that a lot of people are preaching was received by man and taught by man. That's how you know it's not the true gospel. The gospel that we are commanded to preach by Paul said it was received by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't settle for anything less in my ministry. This is what I require of when I preach. Amen. And that's why the devil gets angry sometimes, because he doesn't like when people are sold out. He doesn't like when you preach the truth. He doesn't like when he can't get in and put his little mess, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, the Bible says. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 through 4. Paul said, but I fear, now this is to the Corinthian church. He said, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul said that just like the devil beguiled Eve through his subtlety, he said the devil is trying to corrupt your minds from the simplicity that's in the gospel in Jesus Christ. The Bible says a fool will not err. But look what Paul said. He said, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him or pray for him. Romans 1 and 16, Paul said to the Roman church, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God, saints, unto salvation. That's why people are not getting saved from your messages, because you're not preaching the power of God, the true gospel, to everyone that believeth. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. That's why people are not getting saved. I can't stress it enough. It's because you're not preaching the true gospel. 1 Corinthians 9 and 16. This is still to the Corinthian church and to you and I tonight. Paul said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for the necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. That's why I have to preach the truth. He said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 through 2, Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. There's so many people that's preaching now with wisdom and excellency of speech. Itching ears, the Bible said, in the last days. False doctrines of devils. The Bible said, Paul said, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Hallelujah. Another scripture says when they see him that they say he's not a lot. Paul wasn't a big man, it says in the Bible. You know, his words, you know, are not so eloquent, but they say he had the power of God in his speech. Paul said, when I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Remember I told you the testimony of God is the revelation of God. We talked about that in the Old Testament. Paul said it again, I declared unto you the testimony of God or the revelation of Jesus Christ. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 John 1:10-11, he said, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. Remember we talked about false doctrine. He said, if anybody comes to you and brings you another doctrine or not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bid of him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds or works. There are good works for which we will be rewarded in heaven, but there are evil works for which we shall spend eternity separated from God. And Paul called this an evil work. He said, if anybody come to you and bring not this doctrine or this gospel, he said, don't even receive them into your house. Now, we already read what he said that would be a curse. But he said, don't even bid them Godspeed. He said, because if you bid them Godspeed, you are partaker of their evil, wicked deeds. Hallelujah. I want you to be saved tonight, saints. He said, if you bid them Godspeed, you are partakers of their evil deeds. And evil works are what's going to separate you from God throughout eternity. God considers changing the gospel and not preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Every time you mount that pulpit, an evil work, he considers that an evil work when you're not preaching the truth. I myself would be scared to preach anything else but the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He in the church, he is coming back, saints, for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Hallelujah. He's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Praise the Lord. That concludes my message tonight. Praise the Lord. I just had to get that out because God was dealing with me about the gospel. I did this message 3 days ago, and I've been working on it, and I'm so glad I was able to get it out tonight. If you're a leader in a church, if you're a preacher or a pastor or anybody that hears this message that's preaching anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ from the pulpit, please repent. Please, I beg of you to repent and to get it right before that great and terrible day of the Lord. That closes out my message tonight. I want to make an announcement. Manna Teaching Ministry, could be coming to your home. We will be starting a home Bible study ministry for you. I want you to invite your family and friends out. If you are interested in hosting a Bible study with people that you invite to your home, please, with me, yours truly, Evangelist Amos, please inbox or email me. You can either I will even let you choose the subject of your choice because you know what you need. You know what would be interesting. You know what your friends and family have been talking about. So if you want to get in on this, the spaces are limited. I'm not going to be able to take a lot of different people. We have a certain amount. I'm not going to tell you how many, but there's a certain amount of people that I'm going to put on the list, and we're going to rotate, have a rotation schedule once a month or once every 2 months. We'll be at your home, depending on how many people. But you can choose the subject of your choice, and for a night of fellowship and fun, you can do hors d'oeuvres or finger sandwiches, whatever you want to do, but I will bring the word. I want you to RSVP to manna_teaching@yahoo.com. That's manna_teaching@yahoo.com or inbox me on Facebook if you're a Facebook friend of mine. Just inbox me and send me a message. Remember, there are limited spots, so it's important that you contact me as soon as possible. And I love you, and I just want to say good night from Manna Teaching Ministry. God bless you.